Well, good morning, everyone. A special welcome to anyone who might be visiting. We're glad you're here and you're always welcome here. So happy Mother's Day, moms. The door isn't here specifically for Mother's Day, but since we're on the subject of doors and moms, it's funny, moms, you have to have it one way or the other. On one hand, you say to your 13-year-old, so help me if you slam that door. But at the same time, you say to their younger, you say about their younger sibling, I don't want to brag, but my 3-year-old's slamming doors on an 8th-grade level. And how about that ridiculous phenomena that your kids will walk right past their dad sitting on the couch to come into the bathroom, knock on the shower door, and ask you to go get him a drink? Well, anyways, happy Mother's Day to all of you. Friends, imagine, if you will, to be one of those 12 disciples today in the upper room, where the gospel picks up here. This is immediately after Jesus explained that he's going to be leaving us. Here's a reflection for us to consider. Let's call this, will I? So, Lord, after 3 years in which we've wholeheartedly sold out to you, like that, you're leaving. We sat in a silence so quiet that it speaks volumes. Our hearts are racing. We recall the miracles, the teachable moments, the joys, the sorrows. But these are drowned by a sudden sense for hopelessness. Part of me is angry. Part of me is frightened, but mostly, indeed, I feel abandoned. Jesus breaks the silence. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in me. Seriously, Lord, that's your reply. That's our consolation. He patiently goes on to list the reasons for hope. Still, our sense of doubt drown his promises. How are we supposed to trust that he can still provide? Are our hearts even capable of sustaining faith in him? Can I? Will I? Okay, so considering that reflection, their interaction on that real-life perspective, it's understandable, the sense of loss and confusion. Remember, this experience was before Christ's resurrection, before his full purpose was revealed. So they didn't have the advantage we have today looking back on the whole story. So in some sense, I say they deserve a pass for their confusion, their anger, their fear. However, with Christ's resurrection and their newfound hope, even though the door of opportunity to be Christ's hands for others was just barely cracked open, before they were done, before they were martyred, these seemingly lost disciples founded the Christianity that you and I profess today. Christ's church was formed and well-inspired, as our first two readings today lay testimony to. How? It's simple. They took it personally and tackled it collectively with a servant's heart. They allowed themselves to be built into what Peter describes today as that spiritual house. They rushed the door of opportunity. And burst through. Now here we stand, some 2,000 years hence, right? The door of opportunity wide open. Our purpose should be in plain view. Sometimes we pass through. But far too often, we stop short. We don't pass through. Why? Again, because sometimes we don't take his charge personally. He was talking to somebody else. So no wonder then that 90% of Christianity's work is done by 10% of its members, inside and outside of the church. No wonder then many have no concept of a servant's heart. In this sense, it's fair to say we close the door of opportunity to be Christ's hands for others. If we're not personally rushing the door to be Christ's hands for others, if our personal purpose doesn't seem to be in plain view, but we really don't have the energy to look for it, if we've thrown our faith into cruise control, in other words, we don't ask Christ daily, where can I serve you today? If we've resorted to saying, I'm not qualified, I'm too old, I'm not old enough. If too often we forget that our everyday life is a Christian opportunity. If we've limited church to this place. If for whatever reason we're not rushing the door of opportunity to be Christ's hands for others, why? That's a personal question for the good of Christ's collective purpose. Of course, to say we're too busy, out of time, in case we missed the memo, especially in America, that excuse doesn't count anymore. Christ was busy and short on time, too. Too busy isn't an excuse. It's our way of life. It's not a curse. It's our choice. And I'm the first to admit, too often, I make to be too busy my priority and a real lame excuse. Christ today, friends, implores us. Have faith also in me. He tells us, I am the way, the truth, the life. He promises, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. He's conveying what he most desires of us, no less than to believe in me as a model for your purpose and a doorway to the place I've prepared for you. And let's not limit that place he's prepared for us to only a future sense. St. Augustine said the gospel is the mouth of Christ. Let's recognize our works as his hands. After all, we are St. John the Evangelist. Let's rush the door of opportunity. Let's be Christ for others. Or are we too busy?